Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the first reading from Revelation. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we live in the end times. We are in the last days. Just like at the time when John wrote the book of Revelation, just at the time of the Lutheran Reformation in the 1500s, and so today. Witness what is happening in the world. As it was in John's day, the 1500s, so also today. As Jesus himself warned us in Matthew 24, when he spoke of wars and rumors of wars, kingdom fighting against kingdom, nation against nation, famines, and in this word in particular, pestilences, earthquakes. Christians, Jesus said, would be hated and persecuted and killed. He said that false prophets and false Christs would arise, deceiving countless people. Jesus said that the love of many would grow cold. And he said all of this is just the beginning of the birth pains. Matthew chapter 24. So look around you. AIDS, Ebola, ISIS. Convert or be made shorter by a head. Not just in Iraq or Syria, but now even in Oklahoma. Entire Christian, ancient Christian communities in the Middle East are daily being slaughtered and annihilated one by one. You obviously heard this past week of a soldier who guarded Canada's hallowed war memorial was murdered in cold blood. Then gunshots erupted in the halls of Canada's parliament. Converting to Islam and taking part in jihad in Syria to establish a tyrannical and totalitarian Muslim caliphate now appears to be one of the coolest things for a Western European or a North American to do. We live in the last days. Purple clerical Christian bishops and eye candy torn jeans Christian mega-pastors abound. But what do they all have in common? They play fast and loose with the Word of God. Everything is up for grabs with these men, or women in some cases. Name it. Ask them. Is Scripture the inerrant and inspired Word of God? Ask them that question. Ask them this one. Is Jesus God in the flesh? Or did Jesus rise bodily from the dead on the third day? Or does the death and blood of Jesus make atonement between God and man? Or ask them this one. Is God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or now this one. Is marriage only for a man and a woman? Or ask them this question. Is heaven for real? Is there even a hell? And here are the answers that you will get. Primitive superstitions, one and all. Well, that's what the purple clericals wear. That's what they say. I can name them, but you don't have time. We'd be here all day if I named them. Or they would say that those topics are just too controversial to grow a megachurch, and so they avoid such clear and biblical teachings. We live in the last days. The mayor of Houston, Texas, in an outrageous abuse of political power, subpoenaed the sermons of various Houston clergy. You ask free speech. You ask free speech, whether it's religious or political, not with Her Majesty. Christian pastors are excluded from the First Amendment in Houston, Texas. Now, does that surprise any of you? It really shouldn't. That shouldn't surprise any of us that these things are happening and that they're going to get worse. We should prepare to suffer even more from the politicians who act like they are omnipotent deities. It may come very soon, and I've said this before, but it may come very soon that Christianity in this country will become illegal and criminalized. In other words, if you dare to confess Jesus as Lord, you are taking the chance of going to jail or be sent to a re-education camp or maybe even receive a lethal injection. Why? They'll tell you it's for the good of society. We live in the end times. And so Revelation 14, the first reading today, speaks of what the church is given to do in these gray and latter days. She is not to despair. She is not to compromise. She is not to give up. Check it out. Listen to the text again. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Did you hear that? I sure hope you did. The angel, which symbolizes the church here in Revelation, has the everlasting gospel. Why? Well, the gospel is to be preached. That is the sine qua non of the church. This is her task. And the church preaches the gospel to who? To sinners. You, me, the members of our congregation, and as the text says, those who dwell on the earth, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Yes, brothers and sisters, sinners are the ones who need the preaching of the gospel. Sinners are the ones who qualify for the gospel. Sinners are the ones who need salvation. In John's day, in the 1500s, and yes, even today. And that's precisely what the preaching of the gospel brings and gives to sinners. The gospel saves. The gospel gives salvation to sinners because it preaches and gives Savior of sinners, Jesus. You know this, but I'll say it again. Jesus died for all, for every sinner and for every sin. Tell me, can you name any sinner for whom Jesus did not die? Can you name one? I didn't think so. Now tell me, what sin did Jesus leave out of his dying? Can you name one? That's right, none. And so salvation has been Good Friday-ly won. Once for all, Jesus did it. He achieved it through his bloody death as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so it is as Jesus says, as we heard in the gospel today, if the Son, namely the Son of Man, sets you free, free from sin and the damnation that sin brings, then you are free indeed. Or as St. Paul said in the epistle, that you are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as the sacrifice that atones for all sin and every sinner. And so, brothers and sisters, because of that Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the church loudly and audaciously proclaims to the world and to all the pretend divinities and all their false and imposter gospels what the text says. Listen again. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. That was a triple play of verbs. You know, it's World Series time. So triple play of verbs. Fear God, give glory to God, and worship him. That too is the message the church loudly proclaims to the world and to you who are gathered here today. Those are very serious verbs. These are eternal life or death serious verbs. And so I'm here to tell you, as well as the entire world, that if you do not fear, glorify, or worship God as God, that is to say, if you stubbornly refuse to believe that God is for you in Bethlehem baby Jesus and for you for your salvation in the Good Friday graveyard dead on the cross Jesus, then the hour of his judgment has indeed come right now in my preaching. If you or anyone else for that matter in the world steadfastly refuse to receive Christ's divine Good Friday forgiveness preached and bestowed in his word and sacraments, then I tell you that God's wrath remains on you and you're still in your sins. And you'll soon see that hell is for real. It's really that simple. But the church proclaims the eternal gospel. It's eternal because it has to do not only with things now, but things to come. Heaven. Heaven is for real. The gospel proclaims and gives Jesus as the opposite to all the false gospels of all the false prophets and pretend divinities in the world of today, at the time of the Reformation, and in the Apostle John's day. False gospels are fleeting and they are fading, and they lead, if you follow them, to eternal damnation. So the church calls out in a loud voice so that everyone on the earth, including you, can hear and repent and believe and then live and know for sure that heaven is for you and that it truly is real. So I'm here to tell you once again what the text says. It says, fear God, give glory to him, and worship him. All three of those verbs can be spelled with one word, F-A-I-T-H. That is all done. All three of those verbs are done as you believe that God is for you in Jesus who died for you, the sinner. When you believe that all your sin has been answered for in the divine blood of Jesus, that what Jesus says in the sacrament today to you is absolutely true. It's for the forgiveness of your sins. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's the last day. And so the final point I want to make, it's this. The proclamation of the everlasting or the eternal gospel is itself a sign of the impending end of all things. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. We live in the last days, but we do not despair. There is no time for us to compromise. We simply will not do it. We will not bow our knees to false Christs and false divinities. In this, the last days in which we live, we will give witness that Jesus alone is the Lord against all false idols, false prophets, and the pretend divinities as we fear God, give God glory, and worship him. So we'll see you next week and every week for that very thing. In the name of Jesus, amen.